Welcome back. Hey, welcome back. Before I get started, announcement. This is going to be the new time slot for my Wednesday show. I'm moving it to Thursday. I think Sundays is becoming a bigger episode or a longer episode, and I use my Wednesdays for my special guest appearances. So I'm giving you extra time to listen to the Sunday episode. So when we get to Thursday, you'll be able to relax or be on a cool down from the Sunday episode and then enjoy my special guest appearances on Thursday. That's how I'm going to try to do it. It may switch, it may flip, what have you, depending on the episode, depending on the Ruach. Like I said, it's out of my hands. Most of these shows I do just based on Ruach or based on what I feel at the moment. So I can't really program anything on this podcast because it's all based in the Ruach. It's not based on anything I feel like I'm going to do. Usually it just hits me maybe the day before or the day after. And that's how I've been doing these shows. And I've been doing it since the first podcast was canceled. I was doing it straight off just raw emotion and Ruach. So I'm trying to coordinate these episodes a lot better for you listeners. Now, I knew it. I knew it from the last episode. I knew someone is going to get agitated about me saying that the man is over the woman. Now, I seen recently a post that talked about men are equal. Yes. Single men and single women in this truth are equal. They are supposed to do the biblical feast days. They're supposed to be doing new moon feast days, the new moon ordinances and statutes. You're supposed to be doing all of the giving of the alms, praising, worshiping, even prophesying for some of you, teaching, all of you, man and female, all of you are supposed to reel in. You're supposed to reel in people to the kingdom. We've all been given spiritual gifts. We all have been given a task or a mission. If you don't know what your task or mission is, it's because you have not tapped into that resource. You're still struggling in sin. You're still struggling with vices, and you're still struggling with the problems of this world. Some of you probably are afraid to ask the Most High what your mission is, because you don't want to let him down and you feel like you're not prepared to do what he asked of you, which none of us are truly prepared. I mean, when we woke up, were we truly prepared when we woke up? No one was prepared to do the feast days. We were just thrown into it and we were just figuring it out as we went along. I mean, all we had was scripture at the time. Some of us didn't even have the Apocrypha. Some of you new believers or new awakeners, y'all had the blessing of having the Apocrypha added already into your Bibles. We were just sitting around waiting when we first woke up. We just had the King James Version. Then we went to the 1611 King James Version. And then there was other copies that were out there that we found and tried to piece it all together. That's how I ended up with the Pseudepigrapha Volumes 1 and 2, because I was just searching. And this was before the Apocrypha became attached to the Sefer, or when I even found the Sefer app. But we are never truly prepared for this walk. We're just kind of growing as we walk in this faith, which is what we're supposed to. I know I had a conversation with a sister that she was seeing someone from a camp, and you know all of the doctrines of this so-called camp. You know all of what they are about. We should not be entertaining camps at this moment. People are so, not saying that she was desperate, but some people were so desperate for a community, and there's a reason why we are not added into a community when we woke up, because he wanted us to come to him first. He did not want us to seek out man. He wanted us to seek him and Yahusha. That's it. Seeking him and his son, you will be able to be built up in isolation. Some of you are just scared of being lonely. I don't know why. I guess it may be an introvert and extrovert thing. But some of you just scared to be lonely. Like, you need to be around people so it doesn't feel lonely or isolated. There is a purpose in that. There's a reason why he removes you from family members so you don't feel the pressure, that you don't feel the extra weight of missing Christmases, Thanksgiving, and Easters. So you then can only rely on him. So he can be in communication with you so he knows how you like to be communicated to and how you like to receive it. That is the point. If you are jumping into a community, you are losing that communication factor, because now you won't listen to the very, very subtle voice of Yahuwah or the Ruach HaKodesh, because the community has become louder than scripture. So when I did the episode about women and the female, I knew someone's going to jump in here with, we are all equal. Yes, we are all equal. But when it comes to the covenant, when it comes to the ketubah, when it comes to the marriage, it is always the man, then the woman, then the children. That is the natural order of Yah. I'm sorry that you ended up being a woman and you had to live with this notion. You have to live with this fact. Now, you can not live with it, but it will be your own doing. It'll be what you sowing. Now, you can say that all people are equal, that, you know, marriage was, or Eve's or Chua's desire to her husband was a curse. You could say that, but be mindful of who you saying it about. Be mindful of who instituted the marriage covenant. Be mindful of who set the order of this whole thing. And what you don't want to reap is reap a situation where you cannot come out of it because of haughty-mindedness or arrogance or trying to just fool yourself. I don't know your personal history, your dating life, but that's very dangerous to say everyone was equal all through scripture, when scripture has proven it's always been about the man leading first, then the woman. Now, obviously, in the episode before last, I talked at length about women who did what men would do. They were prophetess. They were soldiers. I mean, they got things done. Like, I talked about Yehudith getting things done. I talked about Esther playing a pivotal role in saving Yasharel, just like the men had played a pivotal role in saving Yasharel by either slaying enemies or beguiling them, or using words, comfort, and grace to control their minds in order to save the entire nation. I mean, I ain't going to go too hard in on it, because I wanted to talk about something else that's more beneficial than, you know, the relationships between men and women, or the equality and equity of men and women in scripture. I mean, I pretty much laid it out in scripture. You can't tell me or can't find me nothing that says that a man was sat down. He was sat down in order to tell, to be told how certain things should work with the mind of a woman. It was always reversed. It was always the women being in subjection to the man, not the man being in subjection to the woman. Now, the man gives honor to the woman, but he's never to be in subjection. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 1 and 2. Likewise, ye women, be in subjection to your own men, that if any obey not the word, they also may without the word be won by the conversation of the women. This is never played out or reversed or shown to be equal to men. This is for women, and this is what Paul wrote, and this is not the first time that he said, even mentions subjection in this chapter. He mentions it twice. While they behold your chaste conversation coupled with fear. Why would you need to be in fear? Because you're being reproved. You're being corrected. And you need to have some form of fear, because the word says for you to be in subjection. The Most High told Eve that her desire would be to her man. That's not really a curse. That's a protection element. Maybe where it hit in your ears, it may seem like, oh, no, I'll never be bow down to a man and I'll never do this and I'll never do that. But it's not for us to control you. It's not for us to hold you under our thumb or under our boot. It's for us to tell you and show you that we see the enemy, that you don't have to worry about things that do not make any difference or matter to you in the whole scheme of a household. We're showing you that you don't have anything to fear. Be under us so we can provide and protect you, because we see enemies that you may not see. We see the pits, the snares, and the stumbling blocks of the enemy that you may not be looking for. That's all it's about. It ain't that deep. It really isn't. It's not that deep. Nowhere in scripture that says that we are to condone being abusive to our wives or to our women. It's nowhere in scripture that says that. Now, it does say in Sirach, Ecclesiasticus, if you've read it, it says that if she do not go your way, give her a seat for a divorce and cut her from your flesh. It doesn't ever say that. Other way around. It don't tell the woman, hey, if this man is not being righteous for you, cut him off of your flesh and give him a sefer of divorce. It doesn't say that. It's always from the man's side first. You can tell your listeners and your followers whatever you want to tell them, but I'm telling you, it's the truth in scripture. Galatians 6, 7 through 10. Be not deceived. Elohim is not mocked. A lot of Christians use this verse every time they see like the black girl with the bald head and the long fingernails that look like the chick from The Witches. If you ever seen that old movie with Angelica Houston, when she takes her face off and all that, her the long fingernails and bald head looks just like whatever this black girl's name is. I can't even pronounce her name, but she's doing Jesus Christ Superstar in Hollywood. And everybody's talking about, oh, God will not be mocked. God will not be mocked. And they think it's just only the representation of Yahusha or Yahuwah. It's much deeper than that. But Yah will not be mocked. That means his word won't be mocked. That means his order won't be mocked. For whatsoever a man sows, that shall he also reap. So if you out here sowing disorder, if you're sowing that scripture is false when it comes to the man and woman being married underneath the household, you will reap what you sow. So for he that sows to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. For he that sows to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. But he that sows to the Ruach shall of the Ruach reap life everlasting. That is decisions that we can make. We can separate the Ruach from the flesh. Now, mind you, there's some parts in scripture that aggravates my flesh, because that's only for a moment of me wanting to be vindictive or spiteful. But I have to bow down under or humble myself under scripture. I can't just go out and just tell people, hey, you can only listen to this part. It's okay to do this, but you don't have to listen to this part. And this part was a curse, but this part wasn't. I'm not out here doing that. I don't really get offended from any parts of scripture that it makes me go tell somebody something completely wrong. That's not what I'm going to do. Y'all know me. If you know when something affects me, I go dark for at least a week or two. I'll be like, I'll come back when I'm in a better Ruach. I've done that before. It's okay to step away for a little bit so you can understand or get a better understanding of what the Most High has said in scripture. And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. As we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith. Now, if Yahusha is ruling over the household of faith, didn't it make sense for man to rule over his household too? Since it does go from Yahusha, the husband, the wife, and the children. Now, if you are not married, and if you don't have a suitor or a coverer, Then you can say whatever you want to say. But what you sow is what you will reap. So anyway, I'm moving on from that. A lot of people were already saying things that basically agree with what I was talking about in the episode anyway. And thank you for a lot of you women who commented on the last episode. I truly appreciate your support and confirmation, because I know it is not a hard thing to hear, especially from the women. I mean, especially with the women in this generation. It's a hard lesson, especially when you have all your life done things your way. And people have allowed you to do it your way without any correction. And they've given you so much leeway and long suffering that you felt that it's a gift, that you must have been doing everything right because everybody's allowing you to be this way. But when it comes to the Most High, he corrected the men, and now he will correct the women sooner or later. Just like in, I forgot if it's in Yeshayahu, I think I want to say it was in Yeshayahu, when he, the Most High, told that the women of Yasharel or Yerushalayim were haughty, that he was going to strip them down. He was going to humble them. And that went all the way down to their hair, that he was going to remove their hair. Cover it with baldness, and that they would stink. That's more evident today as all these Negro women wearing wigs. And then they had an opening for some reality show star in Houston, and he was giving away free wigs. I mean, a whole wall of the rainbow color, the Benetton colors of wigs. And you saw a lot of Negro women, only Negro women were down there fighting over wigs. A lot of sisters have, you know, fights with alopecia. This is all curses. This is all to put you in correction and put you in the reproof. Now, if you don't see that, then it's nothing I can tell you. It ain't even my MO to really care what happens if you choose to neglect the word of the Most High. I just move on from it. But there's another thing I really wanted to talk about is how so many people, especially Christians, think that Yahusha and Yahuwah are one person. And the scripture that they keep talking about or bringing up is Revelation. And it's concerning the hair, that the hair was white as wool. And it'd be like, they are trying to make Yahusha into Yahuwah. But both of them have hair white as wool. So in Revelation 1, 12 through 16, it goes, "And I turned to see the voice that spoke with me, and being turned, I saw seven golden menorahs, and in the midst of the seven menorahs, one like unto the son of Adam, clothed with a garment down to the foot, and girt about the chest with a golden belt. His head and his hairs were white like wool, as white as snow, and his eyes were a flame of fire, and his feet like unto fine brass, and as if they were burned in a furnace, and his voice as the sound of many waters." People look at that as, oh, it's not to be taken literally. It's all symbolism. So we don't know the translations that they could have changed. But his head and his hairs were white like wool. So I'm assuming his hair, being thick, being Negro hair, which is white, as if we've seen, you know, old Negro men with white hair. I mean, Uncle Ben's on the rice package got white hair. Revelation 1:18, "I am he who lives and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. And I have the keys of Sheol and of death." That's saying it's Yahusha. Yahuwah didn't die. Yahuwah has never died. But if we go to Enoch 71, verses 11 and 12, it says, "Michael, Raphael, Gabriel, Penuel, and the holy angels who were in the heavens above went in and out of it. Michael, Raphael, and Gabriel went out of that habitation, and holy angels innumerable. With them was the Ancient of Days, whose head was white as wool and pure, and his robe was indescribable. Daniel 7, verse 9, I beheld till the thrones were cast down, and the Ancient of Days did sit, whose garment was white as snow, and the hair of his head like the pure wool. His throne was like the fiery flame, and his wheels as burning fire. This is Yahuwah. So the one thing I was thinking about is we know that scripture states that it's a day in heaven, but like 1,000 years on earth. And we know this from Jubilees 4:30, when it concerned Adam's death, and he lacked 70 years of 1,000 years, for 1,000 years are as one day in the testimony of the heavens, and therefore was it written concerning the tree of knowledge, on the day that ye eat thereof, ye shall die. For this reason, he did not complete the years of this day, for he died during it. So we thinking when we read scripture, that scripture was a lie, that he says, soon as you eat it, you will die. And Adam and Eve didn't die as soon as they ate the forbidden fruit from the tree of knowledge. But to the Most High is a day in heaven. And in that day, he took away a Shabbat of rest. The number of the Shabbat is 7. So he took away 70 years of his life. So he could never complete a day of rest. Symbolically, he couldn't complete a day of rest. If you go to scripture in the Old Testament, when they went into Babel, they were punished for not obeying the Shabbat. And they were in slavery or captivity to Babylon for 70 years. So this is the Most High showing you symbolically what the Shabbat means, the seventh day. It don't say set Friday and Saturday. Some of you tried to trip me up with that, saying that I thought that the Shabbat was Saturday or Friday and Saturday. I never said that. The Shabbat is categorized under, you know, with the new moon. If Enoch 78 says the new moon is when light is first received upon it, it is the first day. That means you count 6 days, and that is the Shabbat. If you are on a solar calendar, and I said this 100 times before on previous episodes, then you are on a wrong calendar and you don't have any new moons. You are on a solar calendar and it's still based on the Gregorian calendar and still based on the heathen's calendar, because you still end up with a Friday, Saturday, Shabbat. That should never be possible. Because some of you are starting in different dates. Some of you starting the new year in March. Some of you even started in April. But you still end up with a Friday and Saturday Shabbat. That's incorrect. Especially if Enoch is supposed to be the one who set the calendar in order with the new moon. So solar calendar users don't have any new moons. And you're missing out on 12 new moons. And you're missing out on specific new moon feast days that are days of remembrance. And you're missing out on the ordinances that says that you're supposed to be offering ascending smoke offerings. You're supposed to be blowing the silver trumpet. That's male and female. If you're single, male and female, this is what you should be doing. Now, if you have a household, then you guys can have fun. The wife can do it one time and the husband can do it another time. But if you got children, they can start doing it. But you need to start doing it. That is an ordinance. So yes, this is the equality and equity between both genders, that this is what they should be doing. And if you're not doing it, you should not be speaking on anything else in scripture if you're not doing this when it comes to equality of men and women. But back to what I was saying. So why would Yahusha's hair be white as wool if he died at the age of 33, and he left and went up? He hasn't been up there for thousands of years. He's literally been up there for what? A day? Because if 1,000 years is but a day in heaven, he wasn't gone that long in heaven for his hair to be white, unless him being in the presence of his father and sharing the glory and the ambiance of his father, then it would make sense why his hair would be white as wool. But I always struggled with that. Because I was like, he left 33. So when he come back, he going to be 33. He not going to be 800. And like, you know, he not going to be some crazy number where he's going to be old looking. Like, he literally left. And then in heaven, he's going to be gone for like a couple of days. And if you look at the timeline of Yahuwah and how he made this world, he made this world in 6 days. That's 6,000 years on earth. So people joke about that, like, oh, he made this earth in 6 days. He had all these trees, all these mountains, all these animals, and everything just kind of just popped up out of nowhere in 6 days. They don't have no understanding that he made the world in 6 days according to him being in the heavens. Down here is thousands of years. You should just see the ignorant conversations that people are trying to disprove the scriptures and just sound just twice as dumb for doing it. The recent one I found or seen was some black girl with bald head and it was bleached blonde with a receding hairline. She said that how could Moses write the five books, or how could Moses write Genesis if he was born in Exodus? And don't understand that the Book of Jubilees points that out, that when he was on Mount Sinai 40 days and 40 nights, there was an angel of the presence, what it's called in scripture, writing him the histories, writing him the number of years. What do you think he was doing up there for a whole this time? You think he was just chiseling and writing 10 commandments and it took him 40 days and 40 nights to do it? No, he was getting the history to put everything together so the children of Yisrael could understand the beginning, all the way to the beginning, to this point. So they knew who their creator was, who chose them over all nations. That was the whole point of the angel of the presence, to write the histories. But like I said, people think they so smart and they so boastful about it, and it looks just twice as dumb when they don't even know the scriptures. So I really struggle with that. Why would, you know, Yahusha have white hair if he gonna come back 33 years old? But like I said, it's almost the same thing when, I guess, with Moshe's countenance when he was up there on Mount Sinai and they said his countenance was changed. Could that also mean that he aged? Because when Moshe went up there, he wasn't old. When he left out of Mizraim, he was almost in his 40s. And when he got to Cush, he reigned when he was like, what, 40-something? And then, of course, when he went into captivity for 10 years in Midian by his father-in-law, that was like still 50, so he ain't like he was old. So, I don't know. I think about that. Because in 2 Peter chapter 3, verses 8 and 9, it says, "But beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with Yahuwah as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day. Yahuwah is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness." What do you think how we count slackness? We think because thousands of years gone by and we've seen wickedness reign that the Most High is slack in his judgment. We think because we've seen all these wicked rulers and presidents, these abusers of children, these sex traffickers, you know, pop up and go into hiding, and you don't see celebrities ever really getting judged. Apart from them being sacrificed, you don't really see Hollywood falling and all that. And we think that the Most High isn't around, that he's not caring about the wickedness, but he's caring about us and making us feel bad for putting us in isolation and making us obey his law, statutes, commandments, and not making anybody else obey his Torah, that he's somehow slack with the rest of the world. And that is not true. But he is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. If the Most High acted out on his timeline, none of us would be alive today. None of us. If the Most High acted out on his timeline, none of us would be around today. He's caring for enough of us to allow us to come to the fullness of our repentance. And some of you are playing with that timeline of repentance. I mean, I can't even imagine what a day, I mean, like, it would look like up there for him. Like, to see you, it would must be, it's in seconds, really. So every second he's been seeing you sin. He's seen you be righteous for 2 seconds and then see you sinful for 3 or 4 seconds. If we're trying to imagine or understand what 1,000 years on earth is compared to a day, so that's 24 hours or 12 hours to him. So imagine this one day or 1 month of you sinning, it has to be like microseconds. So he's sitting here watching you go back and forth, back and forth, back and forth, back and forth, and not really coming to the fullness of repentance, but keep watching you sin, watching you blaspheme, watching you preach, you know, untraditional doctrines. He's seeing it all. And he's giving you enough grace to keep making these mistakes and not cutting your life over, cutting your life off as soon as you started sinning. That he could have done that. He could have snapped his fingers like, all right, you done. I've seen you going back and forth too many times. You're done. I think we play with the Most High's name and play with his words too much, especially when it comes to our own emotions. We want so badly for his words to fit our doctrine or fit our way of life. That's why religions are the way they are. And because we are because we used to be in these religions, we somehow taken that doctrine of, I'm gonna make this scripture work for me, knowing that there's 3 other different verses in scripture that talks against it, that there's 2 or 3 more witnesses against what you're trying to say or trying to do. And because we don't see really Christians, you know, really take a hit as far as in the broad scope of their religion, we think they are right. After all, we think they are on the right path, but we know that they aren't on the right path. But that doesn't stop us from trying to change doctrine and change words and to fit our little emotional, you know, our little emotional issues. Did anybody see the Ice Cube movie from Amazon, War of the Worlds? It was a poorly, poorly remake of the Tom Cruise movie, War of the Worlds. But if you watch that movie, not only will you see 33 and 666, but you will also see the programming that they are trying to implement in your ruach, in your mind, in your heart, to tell you that they are going to cause a blackout, a global blackout. That means they're going to shut down internet pages. They're going to shut down social media pages. They're going to lock up the banks. They're going to cut out the electricity. And in that movie, they just shown that one person had the ability to hack all CCTV cameras, Teslas, electric cars, security cameras, anything and everything. So they showing you that, yeah, this is what we've been doing. We've been listening to your conversations. We've been following you. We've been knowing where you go. And we've been trying to create a bigger program, which is AI, to put it all together so we know exactly what you're going to do before you do it. That's like that movie Minority Report, if you remember that movie with Tom Cruise, when they had a pre-crime part of the police department where they knew by using psychics that they knew exactly where people were going to end up, if they were going to commit a crime or not. It's pretty much like that, almost like that now. I mean, they can tell. Or if they go through your text messages or go through your life and then read your text message, they can tell when you're about to go off and do something stupid. At the end of the day, that's what they want. That's what the AI is for. See, Satan doesn't have a Ruach HaKodesh. He has to get everybody linked together through computers. That's why technology is like the biggest thing when it comes to the Antichrist. They want everyone connected. That's why they love when you guys vent online and vent on social media. That's why they gave you Will Smith and Jada, because you found that normal to be able to tell everybody your business and everybody be glued to that attention. Like I talked about in the last episode, people love attention. And if the more harsher the story where you can be the victim, they eat that up. They love to hear these stories because that's how they can link other people to the system. They do it through either pleasure or they do it through pain. of people being a victim. That's how they link you to Satan. So people think like, oh no, I can never join Satan or I never join the beast. You don't understand they have so many doctrines and systems of control running throughout this world that eventually the more you go into it, the more you go into pleasure or pain, you end up to Satan's system. You end up in his Ruach HaKodesh. So all that confessing and venting you do online, people worrying about the ancestry DNA and people trapping your blood. No, no, no. They ain't even after the blood part. They really want the data and the know you. See, knowing you helps them link through AI all the people that are like you so they can push you all to the beast system. So then the people that you feel connected to spiritually through shared trauma, you feel like I will never go against this group because now I feel like I'm a part of this group. I'm a part of this community. Now do you see on and understand why Yah puts us in isolation, why he tells you to sit down and shut up and to learn to communicate with him and not communicate with the world? Because that is what the world is. These social media platforms is the world. The more you keep telling, the more you keep venting, you are helping others, you know, be a part of this whole computer processing system. That when time comes for everybody to fall into the ditch or fall into the snare or trip over the stumbling block, you aren't going to be able to see it because you're going to be too busy linking up with those who have shared traumas or shared perversions. It ain't just all about trauma. It's about perversion, too. So some of you talk about backsliding and going, like, I'm telling you, it's dangerous, especially at this time if you that's what you're sowing. If you're still sowing vices and you're still sowing sin, you are already being put in a specific category of those who are about to leave the faith, where you are going to be tried based on that faith, and you're going to be like Haran. You're going to be reasoning within yourself like, oh, if Yah saves me out of this, I'll go with Yah. But if the sin saves me, I'm going to go with this sin still. And the whole thing is to prove that the Most High does not exist, that the Most High has given up on this world. It's even mentioned in the Baruch or Ezra that people will abandon faith and abandon hope and saying that Yah no longer remembers the world. That is how bad it's going to get in this country. Not in this country, but around the world. That's how bad it's going to get. You know how bad it's going to get for people who are supposedly religiously devout? And zealous over for their religion, say, all right, this ain't working for us. I'm done. Especially people who are a part of this world, that they feel that they are being blessed by just doing worldly things. Not even mass shootings will get people to question their faith. Not car accidents, not some guy sitting up in a Mandalay Bay hotel, shooting out of a window and mowing down people in front of a black pyramid. Not even 9/11 got people to question their faith. So just imagine the events that need to happen in order for people to truly abandon hope and faith. That means it has to be one thing after other. That means after famine, it got to be death. After death, it got to be war. After war, it got to be a fire. After fire, it got to be destruction and desolation. It have to be heaped over and over on top of people for people to understand that this is not natural. See, right now, if you are awakened to this system, you know certain things are just made up and are false flags and rituals. But some people just don't understand that yet. People are already saying, oh, the Legionnaires' disease that broke out in New York, that's somehow part of the last days of famine, plagues, and da-da-da-da. I'm telling you, the Most High hasn't even gotten started yet. If we want to talk about the real birth pains, it ain't even been the first trimester, to tell you the truth. It hadn't even been the first trimester. If we want to talk about the travails of a woman being equal to the destruction of this world, we ain't even reached that point yet. But people who have no true understanding of what's going on, they think Legionnaire disease or COVID at the time was like the Most High's doing. Now, mind you, the Most High allowed it to happen. If the Most High really wanted to get you, he would not send out a famine with a 99.9% survival rate. The Most High would never done that. Could you imagine in biblical times, in one of the plagues that the Most High sent out, that the Egyptians had a 99.9 success rate. It would make no sense. The Most High sent a plague or a famine, things getting destroyed and things getting eat up. Like when he sent that famine into the land of Canaan that pushed Yaakov, Yasharel, and his family up to Goshen, it was 7 years, fam. It was 7 years of parched land and famine. When the Most High sends something through, he's sending it through. He's not sending anything with a 99.9 success rate or a survival rate. It ain't happening. So this is all a fake prophecy that really isn't going to really grasp people to make them question their faith. It has to be the Most High's doing, and it has to be so all over the place that you can never match it with a numerology. You can never match it with gematria. The Most High is not going to show up on anything associated with 33. He's not going to show up in no spring equinox, winter equinox, or summer solstice. He is going to show up, and it's going to be so random to people. People are going to feel that it's not natural. And once that fear strikes people, that confusion strikes people, or that stupor that he talks about in Baruch strikes people, then you will start to understand what this is all about. That you cannot be included in Satan's Ruach using AI all the time, using technology on these platforms, and you are convincing yourself that you have shared relationships with complete strangers. So when it's time to combat these strangers, you won't do it. Because you made yourself part of a community or part of a niche group. And they got a whole bunch of niche groups all over social media. So if you're not really ingrained in this word, you are going to fall for the okey-doke. Because y'all don't want to be isolated. You want to be part of a community. You want to be part of a group. You're going to be part of the fall. I remember that Snickers commercial they had. They were running it through us, you know, during the Super Bowl. I think, I don't know what Super Bowl it was, but I know that it was like a big, not one controversy, but it was a big ad. And it was people taking the Snickers and eating it and just falling into the ditch, falling into a big hole in the middle of I don't know where they were at, in the middle of the wilderness. It was like a big hole. And everybody was eating the Snickers going down into this hole blindly. That's exactly what they showing you exactly what you are. All these zombie TV shows they had, the zombies are you. It's for people who have no understanding of what's going on. It ain't gonna be like dead people waking up out of the ground and start eating brains and all that. I mean, obviously, you want to be looking for not like it's a play. Zombies, all they at the very early zombies was like, oh, they wanted was eating brains because they were dumb and they didn't know anything else. Their whole motive was eating brains. Or eating people. But the first early zombie movies were about eating brains. Then they changed to all of the body. But when they first started out back in the day, it was about eating brains. So they're showing you that people will be so dumb and stupid. They want to be searching for knowledge and won't find it. They will try to be smart and won't be able to be smart. Because of this stupor that's going to hit the inhabitants of this land and this world. And the reason why it's going to hit them hard is because they're trying to be connected to this system. And they won't rebel against it because they find a niche to make them comfortable. A lot of these people suffer through isolation and will never want to be isolated. They need the comfort of having people around them. And when you're in the middle of that comfort, you will struggle trying to leave that group because you have made it a home to be in this group. So finding out and reading the word, I mean, I could tell people to read the scriptures for themselves, but everybody reads and understands and have reading comprehension of scriptures completely different. So you have to live it. Not just be scared because you're in isolation, but you have to live it. I like Malachi chapter 4, verses 1 through 4. For behold, the day comes that shall burn as an oven. And all the proud, yeah, and all that do wickedly shall be stubble. And that day, and the day comes, shall burn them up, says Yahuwah Sabaoth, that it shall leave them neither root nor branch. When he say root or branch, that means your entire bloodline wiped out in less than a day. And when I was looking at that War of the Worlds movie with Ice Cube, of course they said aliens were sending meteors. And so it was like a bunch of meteor showers that happened all over the world. Obviously, we know that's the Most High. I mean, if he did it in Gibeon, who's to say he won't come back and do it again? But fire and brimstone. For behold, I'll read it again. For behold, the day comes that shall burn as an oven. The day comes that shall burn as an oven. And all the proud, yeah, and all that do wickedly shall be stubble. And the day that comes shall burn them up, says Yahuwah Sabaoth, that it shall leave them neither root nor branch. But unto you that fear my name shall the Son of Righteousness arise with healing in his wings. And ye shall go forth and grow up as calves of the stall. And ye shall tread down the wicked, for they shall be ashes under your under the soles of your feet in the day that I shall do this, says Yahuwah Sabaoth. And ye shall tread down the wicked, for they shall be ashes under the soles of your feet in the day that I shall do this. So imagine, we are going to be covered. So I don't know where y'all get this rapture doctrine from out of Christianity. I'd rather be here so I can walk on top of the ashes of my enemies. I don't know about you. This, the Most High is telling you, if you fear my name, that means fear his word, you will be covered. So I really don't have nothing to worry about when it comes to these last days, when it comes to anything being burnt up. I have faith and hope that the Most High is going to cover me and my household because I have the fear of how I treat people within my household and also who I treat outside of my household. That is the key. Remember ye the Torah of Moshe, my servant, which I command unto him in Horeb for all Yasharel with the commandments and judgments. So we have no excuse, and we have never had any excuse throughout our generations. That is why the Most High imprinted the book of Deuteronomy on our souls, on our bones, on our ruach. We are turning back because of the prophecy. So it's no excuse. It's just sad that we don't have the ability to go back and awaken our ancestors, our forefathers, to show them that this is who we are and this is why your sacrifice was so important. We won't be able to do any of that. I often think and hope that when the Most High lines us up on Judgment Day, that we are put in order by the men in our family and the women in our family, that we actually get to look back out of line and to see all the men out of our generations that didn't get to see the truth but made it into the kingdom, that through the Most High's mercy and grace and long-suffering that they were able to make it, that those who were in spiritual blindness wasn't able to understand it until Judgment Day. I really hope and wish that's actually the case. It'd be awesome, wouldn't it, if you could be in line during Judgment Day and you look back and see the people that you're related to in your generations and on the way to judgment. Wouldn't it be wild too if some of y'all find out y'all like related to like John Wayne Gacy or Jeffrey Dahmer? Like y'all just look down the line, you just see Jeffrey Dahmer, you're like, damn, what the hell? I think that would be crazy. But the one thing I like, and that's always been consistent in scripture, is how great the Most High is and how he is greatly to be praised. Psalms 48, 1 through, 1 through 3. Great is Yahuwah, and greatly to be praised in the city of our Elohim, even upon his holy mountain. Mount Zion, lying northward, is beautiful in elevation. It is the joy of the whole earth and the city of the great king. Elohim is known in her palaces for a refuge. Known. So where are these places at? And what are we waiting on? The second Exodus. And where are we waiting on the second Exodus to go back to? The place or the palace of refuge. I see why, like, as big as Africa is, it can be a refuge. I mean, look at all those animals that sit on these lands that no one can build upon. Because the Most High has allowed the man, or allowed men, to create wildlife preserves that no one can just build shopping malls or condos or vacation spots in these areas. So it's actually, if it's a refuge for animals, we know for certain it is a refuge for us in the future. That is what I'm excited about. I don't see that land over there being a refuge for anyone. These people can't even get along with their neighbors, and they literally have been fighting since the beginning of time. As far as beginning of time, meaning since they came over there in 1948, they have not seen any rest from a people who have no army, really have no technology, and barely have a military. Yet they struggle with getting these people out of this land. It has never been a refuge for them. It has never been a refuge for anybody. You ever watched the movie Kingdom of Heaven with Orlando Bloom? I had never seen that movie until a couple of days ago, and I laughed that these people, the Knights Templar, Europeans, the Muslims, were fighting over this fake land, which was just Fort Antonia. They were fighting for it for so long. And to think that it was the real biblical Jerusalem. This was like almost 900 years ago. So obviously they didn't even see the David Rumsey map collection. But they were fighting over this fake fort or this fake city or temple of Jerusalem for nothing. It has never been a refuge over there. But if you look at South Africa or in different places of Africa, you can understand how that place, through its mountains, trees, wilderness, that is, has been a refuge for somebody. The only reason why people came down in there because the Most High awakened up other nations to come down there to teach us a lesson. So imagine if we never were wicked and we never fell, we would never known the outside world past, I would say, Babylon, which is modern day Sudan. We would never need to know what a European looked like. We would never have to get on a boat and go over to see where North America or South America was. We would have been completely cut off from the rest of the world if we acted right. The Most High has allowed enemies to come down and spoil us because we transgress. So that's why I'm double happy when he says that those that fear his name, we also have to come to the understanding that if we are not sinning, if we are not falling to our vices and becoming a stumbling block to ourselves, we will never see our enemies except under our feet. And some of you playing with that repentance, playing with these vices, you must want the enemy to come into your house and snatch your children. You must want the enemy to come into your house and disrupt your marriage. You must want the enemy to eat up your goods and resources. You must want that. I don't know why, but you must want that to have Yah show you who's in charge. Why? Why put him to the test? Because you know you're going to fail to that test. You know, like he says in scripture, that my word does not come back to me void, that I send it out to do exactly what I said it would do. So the reason why Deuteronomy exists, the reason why the Book of Lamentations exists, is to show you stop playing with his name, stop playing with his grace, stop playing with his longsuffering. Or you must want your enemies to come around your way at the harshest of times, when you're struggling, when you can't, you know, make ends meet, when you're stuck with bills or stuck with loan payments or stuck with student loans, that here comes the enemy ready to teach you a lesson. That's one thing also in scripture that has been very consistent, that if you are living righteous, your enemies can't do nothing to you. If you're living wickedly and unrighteously and out of order, your enemy's going to come around snooping. I think at my own ego, I'd be wanting to fight my enemies. But I'm like, why? Why wouldn't I just enjoy these blessings? Enjoy this freedom and peace? Why do I want to be war hungry or warmongering with my enemies? I think at my own apparel, my apparel, but on my own peril. I want to go out and just be ravishing enemies. But that's also dangerous too, going out there to seeking a war and seeking enemies for the sake of seeking it. That's dangerous. Because we all want to correct people who aren't walking according to the truth. We always want to go to war with our enemies and shed truth of their lies and all that. But it also is dangerous too. That means you got to be, you have to be fully armored in the walk. Fully armored. You cannot at one moment be in this walk and start going to war with enemies and then there's chinks in your armor. I'm telling you, you're going to fall. You're going to trip yourself up and you're going to fall on your own sword trying to do it. Because the Most High is not going to allow you to be a beacon. He will not allow you to be a sword. He will not allow you to be a shield for anything if you are not walking according to his statutes and ordinances. That is his biggest shield for you. That is his biggest covering for you. Because he will not allow you to fall to people who are living wickedly. And if you, no matter how wicked you think you're not or how righteous you think you are, if you are continuing in a vice or in a sin and you are backsliding, not one or two times, but I'm talking about consistently backsliding, you are opening yourself up and you know for chinks or holes in the armor for you to be spoiled. And that's a lesson that is hard to come back from because the Most High is not like smack you up top of your head and be like, all right, now you fix it. No, it's like a pain that you feel. It's not just from your ruach, but it's also a pain that you feel in your flesh when he brings you through judgment and when he brings you through correction. He has to let you know that he's got to put you in a place where you can't do nothing to get out of it. That you have to sit in judgment, sit in correction, so you know it is him correcting you. And I'm saying, why go through that? Why not be prepared to be set up to go to war with your enemies to be successful, to be blessed, to have this table that David talks about in the presence of your enemies? Why not set yourself for that? Why knock out the legs of the table through vice? Why remove plates off the table through sin? You think about that. I see y'all Sunday, new time slot, Sunday, Thursday. And also, I'm going to take a chance with y'all. I'm going to post the calendar I am using on Sight to the Blind. And I'm just going to go with it that way. So that's what I'm doing when the first new moon of the first month, which is the first month to me, I'm going to post the new moon and I'm going to go from there. You don't got to follow it. You ain't got to do nothing. I'm just telling those who want to take a chance to take a chance. And we'll find out this way together, but I know I'm right at this moment because I tried the Most High in this manner and I tried him in a way that's also in scripture. I can't even remember it off the top of my head if it's in Chronicles or Kings, where he instructed an Israelite to take an army up to war, and he told him not to take so many people because he didn't want the Israelites to get all, you know, high-minded and arrogant that they won the war because of the strength in numbers. But before he accepted this mission, he didn't know if the Most High meant him. He was so afraid and so humble, he didn't know if the Most High truly meant him to go lead this army or go gather this army. So what this man did was he did something with moss or a dew or something like that, and he put it out for the Most High to test him in this manner and say, all right, if this is dew, if dew hits this, then you want me to do it. If dew doesn't hit it or dew makes it dry, something like that, then it's another decision that I have made. And he tried him twice in this manner. It's the same thing I did with the Most High. I drew a number 9 and a number 10. This is a while ago. I drew number 9, drew my number 10, and I said, all right, the Most High. And I put it in front of my stone altar. I said, Yah, you mark which one I'm in, because I was confused on the month because I end up skipping months out of just being negligent and not tracking the proper order. Not that I was wrong in the calendar, but I wasn't changing my dry eraser board that had all the months laid out. And I had somehow skipped a couple of months. And one of you brothers corrected me too, so thank you for that. But I put it in there to test them to say, not to test Yah, but to test the theory. And he did mark it. He marked it correctly. So I've been been corrected, and this is how I'm prepared and ready to do the first month and show you how I got to the first month and all that. So we'll talk about that more later, but this is what we do when we equal. When we equal, yes, this is what we do. We find the proper way, regardless of how hard and how, you know, agitating it is. We find the proper way so we can always seek him 10 times more after we have found him. I'll see y'all Sunday.